Begin our time in the Word with me by taking your time to listen to last week's passage from Romans 12 and this week's follow-up passage from Romans 13. So just take some time to hear and listen and absorb, and then let us go live. Because last week's passage from Romans 12 and this one from Romans 13, these are life-defining passages. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers, bless those who persecute you, bless them, do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all, if it's possible, so far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That was last week from Romans 12. Here's the rest of the story from Romans 13. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. Any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is? How it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Let's pray and then let's talk. God, as we once again open your word, we ask that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that love and discern, as we in this place serve you as a community of faith shaped in the image and likeness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something special about making something from scratch, creating something, starting with an empty canvas, taking different paints and creating a work of art. For some, that canvas is an actual canvas to paint. For some, it's blank sheet music. Or it's an empty space. on the counters in the kitchen, ready to be covered in flour and salt and yeast that eventually become an ultimate work of art. For others, that canvas is a computer screen, a blinking cursor each week with a new blank document. Months ago, I asked Pat, our resident PowerPoint design artist, to think with me about a new template for our time in Common Time for the summer and fall. And, you know, for the rest of the year, that just happens to take Genesis and Exodus as kind of the big stories that define this time of the year. I told her that the big themes will explore God's creation, but specifically us as the new creation. But just think creation. And that's pretty much all I told her. Just think creation. Well, she sent back two ideas. One was a pretty straightforward nature-based theme, you know, what you would think of when you think of God's creation. And they were nice, wonderful, typical, high-quality Pat creations. But then she sent me the theme with the hands. Hands that create. Hands that do the work of God's creation, of forming and shaping and dreaming new things into being. Of God's creation, we as the new creation, God's ultimate creation. So, as a result, what do we do? What do we, as God's creation, do? Well, we create. We join God in the act of creation because ultimately that's what God does. God creates. And God breathes life and being into new things. And so just that alone, just the big picture idea of creation should define the way that we spend our lives and even what we do this week as we go out into the world. What are you going to do this week going out, shaping things, breathing new life into things? How do we do that? And it strikes me today as we run across Romans 13, like I said earlier, is just an extension of Romans 12. It strikes me today that it says in more than one way that love is the fulfillment of the law. But it's also the fulfillment of all of creation. Then when we choose the path of love, which includes listening carefully to one another, that we fulfill the entire weight of creation. So come with me for a little bit, just for a few minutes. Come with me on kind of a running exploration of the passage that we just read in Romans 13 that begins with these nine words. You heard them earlier, listen to them again. Nine words, and even just these nine words could keep us plenty busy for the rest of the week, not to mention all the rest of Romans 12 and 13. But just these nine words. You ready? Owe no one anything except to love one another. That is good old-fashioned commandment if ever there was one. Now, we ignore it because we live in an age of credit. Or we have to read something like that and interpret it, right? But if we approached all of Scripture the way that sometimes we've said that we do, this one is going to be a problem. That car out in the parking lot that Jen and I drove here, we owe money on it. House, we still owe some money on the house. So what am I supposed to do now? I just came to church with you fine, lovely people and just read a passage straight out of the Bible that says, owe no one anything. So what do I do? So, okay, what if this has also to do with the way that we approach one another? Because I'm not going to solve this overnight. What if this passage is teaching and shaping us, everyone, to see our church family as a good place to start, practice, to live? What if, rather than getting hung up on first part of the passage, I get hung up on the second part of the passage, and I spend the rest of my week trying to sort out that love is something I actually owe you. This isn't something that, you know, kind of like, well, you know, I woke up this morning, and it's like, well, do I feel like owing you some love? No, this is straight out of the Bible saying, this may be something that I owe you. What if this isn't just an act of will? What if this is a command? And why would that be? Well, it's the rest of that verse, 13:8b, second half of the verse. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The love that I owe you, the love that we owe one another, is the fulfillment of the law. Why are you here this morning? Why do you read the Bible? Why do you keep coming to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? What if it's just to be reminded, at least as a beginning point, that all of this talk of loving one another is not just an idea, but it's something that fulfills the entirety of creation? I think some of us have heard that phrase through the years so much that it's lost its punch. But think about it. Fulfill the law. Completely fulfilled. Everything is finished. Everything is completed in this doing and being of patience and kindness that we know is love. When you want the very best fulfillment for those around you, when you love someone so deeply that you go out of your way to do one of the very hardest things that you could possibly do in this society. And you know what it is? To take the time to listen. To listen to one another. Not just, you know, saying, well, okay, I'm going to owe you love today. And that takes us right back to the earlier chapter from last week. Because before we read these pieces from Romans 13, don't forget what started all of this in Romans 12 that we read last week and started this week with as well, let love be genuine. This has to be real. This can't be a pretend activity. And it starts by looking at one another even in this room and our loved ones here online. It starts by seeing one another as perfect creations created by the hands of God. You are a living creation. And I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you want first and foremost to know the will of God and to live as a child of light in the ongoing creation of God. You, as the work of God's hands. Because in Romans 13, after they quote some of the very law that love fulfills, Romans 13:10 hits us with one of those life-changing verses. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. There it goes again. So then, and this is the big turning point, so then, now what? Romans 1 through 11 is a huge collection of what some people who read the Bible call doctrine. Romans 1 through 11 is quite possibly the densest section of the Bible that says this is what we believe. Romans 1 through 11. this giant section of Paul's longest letter where he made every effort to say, here, as the people of God, this is what we believe. Now, not going to be surprised. It doesn't include everything, but it includes a lot. And that section of 1 through 11, doctrine. Here's what we believe. But Romans 12 through 15, I know there's a 16, but it's kind of goodbyes and names. But Romans 12 through 15 does something different than Romans 1 through 11. You have to read it in a different way. Because Romans 1 through 11 says, here's what we believe. And you know what Romans 12 through 15 does? It's a word that Bible scholars call paranesis. Isn't that pretty? Just rolls off the tongue. Paranesis. You know what it means? Basically, you know all that stuff in Romans 1 through 11 about what we believe? 12 through 15 says, this is how you do it. This is how you be it. This is how you live it. This is what life actually looks like. This is what you take with all of this stuff that you believe, and it is important, and it is life-changing, but this is how you actually live it. We, and I'm not just talking we, I'm talking throughout the history of Christianity, have spent an exorbitant amount of time on 1 through 11. And sometimes not enough attention on 12 through 15. Because if we're not doing 12 through 15, in all of this talk about let love be genuine and love being the fulfilling of the law and all of these things about, you know, if it's possible with you, live at peace with one another, all of these things, then all the things that we know about 1 through 11 didn't take. So as an encouragement to live as people of love and light, Romans 13, 11 through 12 continues this vision for us, the new creation of Christ, by saying this. And it's one of my very favorite, like, statements in the Bible. He says, besides this, you know what time it is. You take time to just stop and listen to that. Besides this, you know what time it is. You hear a passage like that, and you know, my initial reaction would be, no, I don't know what do you mean you know what time it is? You know where that comes from? It's one of the most beautiful parts of Romans, and Paul as this Jewish writer. Way back in the history of God's people, the people of God gathered together, and they wrote a collection of writings called the wisdom literature. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, I mean, these kinds of passages that just, they name things and they say this is how you live. And they say sometimes things that kind of get under your skin, like, oh, I don't know if I like that. But all of those wisdom literature words come down to one thing. And you know what it is? They help us know what time it is. They give us the discernment and they give us the wisdom to be able to gather together and say together, we know what time it is. You know what time it is? One of the most famous parts of all of wisdom literature, if not all of Scripture, and those of you who are a little older than me probably remember a song on the radio that said, you know, there's a time to be born, a time to die, you know, to everything, turn, turn, turn. That's from the Bible. That's right out of Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die. One of my favorite, there's a time to speak, and basically a time not to speak. Wisdom is knowing the time. It's time to speak, and so we speak. It's time not to speak, and so we remain silent. The opposite of wisdom, what the wisdom literature calls, appropriately enough, foolishness, is speaking when it's time to be silent, or remaining silent when it is our calling to speak. So you know what time it is, right? What time is it? You know what time it is. And the reason that we know what time it is in Romans 13 is that he just told us. It is time to let love be genuine. It's time to love one another as the fulfillment of the law. It's time to listen. It's time to be at peace. It's time to build one another up. It's time to look at each other and see the fingerprints of God all over your face. Because God's fingerprints are still on you from shaping you, and still on you because God continues to shape us in the image and likeness of Christ. I have on my wall, you're welcome to come in my office and look at it, and some of you have heard this before and some of you have seen it. I've got this like wall of fancy degrees, right? I was in college for 17 years. Isn't that ridiculous? Slow learner, I guess. All these fancy degrees and academic stuff and all of that. And I said, I'll always have this up here no matter what. I have this little embroidery thing that I don't even know who made it. I mean, my grandmother, my aunt, I'm not even entirely sure who made it. But somebody, when I was a little boy, made this, put it up on my wall in my bedroom, and I used to lay in bed in my Charlie Brown bed sheets and my tiger blanket that my grandfather bought me when I was 6 years old for Christmas. And I used to look at this plaque. It's a little boy, and he's holding a stick horse, and he's wearing a red bandana over his mouth. And the words embroidered on it just say, "Please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet." All of you lovely creatures of the hands of God that still have fingerprints on your face, still have God's fingerprints on you, there's still more fingerprints to come. God is still shaping every one of us in the image and likeness of Christ, and there's still work to be done. But that's okay, because you know what time it is. Amen.